is taken from 1 Thessalonians 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. This is our text. So, we in the United States at this time in history have thought, we are an enlightened people. We have made progress. We are intelligent. We are resourceful. We are arrogant beyond all telling. Why do I say that? Well, because we live in darkness. We live in darkness. Our nation is degenerate in so many different ways. And we have a lot of people who won't speak to it, who won't call for it to be changed, because it's, well, I might lose my office. I dare not say that gay marriage is wrong, for that would cause me to lose my office. And you know how important I am to the political schemes that are out there. That's darkness, my friends. That's darkness. All authority comes from God, not from a political plan to keep your office, to massage the folk, to get them to vote for you. I'll do whatever you say, just as long as you give me my office. Harry Truman said, you know the politician is corrupt if he comes to Washington poor and leaves rich. Because you're not supposed to. It's not the way it's supposed to be. What does it mean to live in the midst of darkness? We don't have to imagine. We see it all around us, don't we? We see it in the struggles that people engage in, trying to somehow make themselves feel good. Make themselves kind of fairy tales and myths that they can commit their lives to, about a kingdom that will never end, that we will build paradise on earth, that human beings will become perfect. How did 30% of the young people in the United States come to believe a fairy tale like that, that denies human nature? Where were the adults before? We see it in the struggles that the world engages in, the fights that it fights. We see it in the words, the deeds, and the schemes that those who are living in darkness find themselves attracted to. They are truly upset by the injustice in this world. They are truly upset by people who are not treated fairly. They are truly upset that there are people suffering in this world. And so, one answer is to kill babies in the womb. That's the way you do it. That'll fix everything, won't it? You kill children. I mean, that's what our government has been doing to the tune of 70 million. That's darkness, my friends. That's darkness. They're upset by the hypocrisy. And then there's the futility of men and women. I mean, did you ever listen? All you have to do to know if somebody's telling you the truth on TV is if they ascribe a motive to somebody. The president's doing this because he just is like this. It's done. person's lost the debate. They got nothing. But somehow Americans don't know how to filter that. And they think that those things are appropriate because they're just covered, the airwaves. People ignore the real world and create delusions and myths and fairy tales. And they set them forth as answers to our troubles. But Peter reminds us. Peter reminds us in 2 Peter 1, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, "which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Wow. So Peter was saying, well, he was surrounded by them. When he went out into the midst of the empire, when he went, whether it was Jerusalem or Rome or wherever else, Paul went to Athens, there was a pantheon of gods, myths and superstitions cunningly devised, kind of like feminism and Marxism. Systemic racism, myths cunningly devised. But more than that, we didn't follow those things. We are not afraid to look at the real world, the real events that God says are going to happen and have happened. We're not afraid even to look in the mirror of God's law and see ourselves for who we are. And we, when we want to find the truth, don't look at Washington, that wonderful creation, that swamp that was created by the Ivy League and all of the great universities of the United States. Those great people spent $250,000 or more on their education, and all they can build is a swamp. No, we have the prophetic word confirmed. "Which you do well to heed." Did you hear Peter? He doesn't say, well, maybe you should listen to it. You could listen to it. Or maybe as the pastor, my job is to somehow twist your arm or do a little dance to make you. No, you do well to heed. There's no salesmanship that goes on in here. It's real simple stuff, actually. Paul says, "I'm not peddling the word. I'm not marketing it to you. You do well to heed as a light that shines in the darkness." Do you want to know where the light will shine? Do you know want to know where the light is? It's not in natural man. He is dark. That's what Paul says in that text, doesn't he? "You are not darkness," he says. Ah. But the others are. No, according to Nancy Pelosi, the theologian of the United States, even the MS-13 gang members have a spark of the divine in them. Whoever thought of something so silly? Who would say something so contrary to everything we know? No, there is no spark of the divine. In Genesis 5, it said, Adam had a son in his own image and likeness. Not in the image of God. You see, after the fall, man lost the image of God. We have these words, living and active words, which become more and more precious to us who live in this dark place in which the scripture says will become darker. But the darkness will not be able to comprehend or overcome the light. And so he says to you and to me, comfort and edify one another with these words. Wow. That's a scripture text. Do you want to strengthen? Because the word comfort means to stand alongside with strength. With strength literally was what the Latin word derivative of the word comfort. comfort one another. Stand with next to the person with strength. What's the strength? Edify, build something. You see, in our world, we're all about tearing things down, starting fires. You've seen that, right? Because if we tear everything down, we'll build it all better. We're like the people of, well, the Tower of Babel. Comfort and edify one another, for the day of the Lord draws near. And as we heard in Amos and Zephaniah, that day for those abiding in darkness, not just a few people, but anyone who doesn't confess Christ, who abide in the darkness, that day is darkness, eternal darkness. Look at that text from Zephaniah. He puts together a whole stream of them in verse 15. They are not pretty words. Gloom and darkness and despair. We have heard for so long the lies of those who seek to build a kingdom here. They are all the same, each one, finding their own way, using their power and their own wits. We need to have a guy that's really intelligent, because that's how things get built in this United States. That's how things get built in this world. If we get the intelligent person, the person who follows science, I can tell you that there is a huge amount of hypocrisy when the word science is thrown out. And the people who use it most often are following it the least. You remember what they used to say about that thing that was aborted? It's just a blob of tissue. That's what science says. Really? Have you ever seen a picture? It's no blob. Not even from being a little baby. Little tiny thing. It's no blob. Who were those brilliant scientists who told us that we should believe this and teach our children this? We can go on. People are all the same. They're all going to heaven in their own way. Who told us that? Where did that idea come from? Jesus didn't say that. Jesus contradicted that. Jesus says, apart from me, you cannot get to heaven. Unless you confess that I am your Savior from sin, death, and the devil, you are going to hell. Well, I lived a good life. I don't know you. Hard words. But all these people, they're finding their own way, using their power and their wits, like the game of Survivor, outwit, outplay. But the Lord never intended for man to take upon himself such a task. Do you know that he never intended for you to take on that task? Who taught you to think like that if you were an American thinking, well, I've got to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I've got to set my mind on things. Who taught you that? Your Lord never taught you that. The people of Israel are constantly reminded that the things they have, the land, the resources, everything they have is a gift. Even as the created order is nothing more than a gift to God's creation. We're not going to save the earth. We're not going to save the environment. There's going to be a day, and people will still be alive on that day, living in darkness and the futility of their minds. Yet a darkness fell over the earth, and man, even the most intelligent, gifted, resourceful man, cannot overcome and win the battle with darkness. He can't get out of the darkness. They live in the futility of their own minds. Rather, light had to come into this world. And the only light that lives in this world is not the light of man. The Enlightenment was a mess. Oh, no, no, look at all these things that we discovered. I can show you, it's a mess. But we won't do that tonight. Rather, the only way for man to survive is to be saved by the light of the world. That one is the Christ, as John made clear. John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Do you hear that? You say that the world wasn't created? You're saying Jesus didn't do what God said he did. You're a blasphemer and an idolater. You have to repent of that. For you're denying, you're contradicting the Word of God. Well, you know, people believe it. Yes, they will. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus proclaims in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John chapter 9, verse 5. As long as I am the I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. You want to know where the light is? The light is where Christ is found. Where is Christ found? In his word and his sacraments. The strength that we're talking about in this text to comfort and to build, the strength that builds an eternal house for God. You see, the only thing that's going to last on this earth is what God builds, what God intends to last. The rest of it is going to face the day of darkness and gloom and despair and so on. We hear many complaining about the need for power and empowerment, but power has never been in the hands of men. So anybody who tells you that we have to give people power is lying to you. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory, thine is the power. That's what we say. The things that men build are all going to perish, as has every nation and every kingdom that has ever existed. Where's the Roman Empire? Where's the Greek Empire? Where's the Persian Empire? Where are they all? They all crash and burn because they become degenerate like we have. Dr. Matt Rieger was here to talk to the Tri-Circuit meeting about sexual morality in a Christless world. And he said, you know what? Everybody thinks we're progressing forward. He said, we're becoming more and more like the Romans and the Greeks, especially the Romans. The morality things that we see in front of our face today, that's Roman Empire stuff as they were starting to come apart. God, through his word, the word which took on human flesh, came into this fallen world to build a house for God, a living temple. He tabernacled, he tented among us in order that to do what we could not do, what no man can do. As John noted above, he came to enlighten every man. Now, I had a text down here that I didn't include, but it's from John, John's Gospel, chapter 3, where he says, men love darkness rather than light. They would not have anything to do with the light. He came as the light of the world, and the darkness could not put it out. The light still shines today. It's still being preached here in this place. And a house is being built. The only eternal thing that will be. The house, the living temple, we'll hear in just a minute. That's the only thing that will last. People are the only thing that will last. The kingdoms of this world will be forgotten. Jesus said to the disciples, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And Peter reiterates, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. You know, when you go out into the world and you say, I found the light, people will look at you and say, wow, how dare you? How dare you? How dare you say that I'm not a person of the light? How dare you? I didn't. God did. That said, apart from Christ, you're totally dark. You're flailing about. That's what Washington does a lot. Peter he completes this idea. He says, coming to him as a living stone, you who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, have now obtained mercy. That's what each human being needs, is mercy. Mercy to wash away their sins. Mercy to forgive them. Mercy that took on human flesh, humbled itself, and went to the cross and paid our debt. The debt we could never pay. The debt that would send us into darkness, utter darkness, as the parable taught. That's where it would send us for eternity. You're coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are that building. Notice what he says. You are being built. That's what happens when you sit at Jesus' feet. That's what happens when you listen to his word. Nowhere else, through no other means. It's when Jesus is speaking through his word. We are that building, that light of the world. Therefore, Paul says, but you, brethren, are not dark in the darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Last week I mentioned this. Paul was not very nice to those neighbors. In today's psychological therapeutic society, we'd say, oh, Paul, don't talk like that. You're telling our neighbors that they're living in darkness. And he would look at you and say, don't you love them? Don't you care to tell them the truth? Because that's what they need to hear. They need to hear the truth. I said it on Tuesday with Zephaniah. Zephaniah has these harsh words, but the words are so harsh because God loves them. You see, they rejected the idea that they needed a savior. They just didn't despair of themselves. And the law, when it's preached, and it seems to be very hard pressed, is a sign of love. Because you see, when God starts to hate, he turns away and says, have it your way, do it your own way, I will not talk to you again. That's judgment in time. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. Notice the language there. He doesn't say you might be, you could be. He says you are. We're not called we are called to remind and edify one another with these words. We are not darkness. We are sons of light and sons of the day. It is not that we do not sin, but that the light of the world calls us daily to repentance and forgiveness. The Lord does not leave us to handle the troubles of this life on our own, but to rest in the work and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ day in and day out. Therefore, Paul exhorts us when tempted to a variety of things. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, as a helmet, the hope of salvation, that we may continue to remain steadfast and be clothed in the armor of God, so that we can live in the darkness, and no matter what the world wants to throw at us, we live as his sons. And the word son there, they got children in the ESV, in the bulletin. The word is son, huios, and it means you are an heir. It means that you have an inheritance waiting for you. You see, your inheritance is what you are looking forward to inherit. Not some build up here on this planet, because it's all going to crash and burn. We're going to have a new heaven, a new earth. Peter also reminds us, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. He knows Americans, doesn't he? It's what we live like. lewdness, lust, drunkenness. Abominable idolatries. Now, that's not where Peter stops, though. I want you to listen to what he says. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Can you bear it? Can you be called a hater? Can you be called someone who doesn't just go along with the crowd? Making peace, keeping peace, got to be happy with everybody. Like the politician. Oh, sure, sure, I'll say whatever you want me to say. Just leave me alone. Don't bother me. For God has destined us to life that this world, to a life that this world cannot provide. God has reached into our lives, our hearts, and our minds and created a new creation, as Paul says, as Paul calls us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that new thing doesn't build itself, but is being built, as Peter said before, into a holy temple. You are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Take note of the words. Not to live here and die here, but so that we might abide with this one who loves us with an everlasting love, who intends to give us a new home where righteousness and justice dwell, as we heard from Amos, where the troubles of the fall are overcome and we are overwhelmed by the good, the beautiful, and the true that God creates, that we would come to see what our Heavenly Father always wanted us to have. Where the troubles of the fall are overcome, whereas Revelation tells us, but I saw no temple in it. The city Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine, of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. That's where you and I are going. And as long as we stay here in God's word, as we meditate and walk with it morning and evening and afternoon, as we speak about it with our children, as we confess it before our neighbors, as we try to be a light in this world and to draw people away from the darkness, the futility, the despair, and the terror of the last day, or even in a time of COVID, of death. You see, we don't have to be afraid of dying. What did Paul say? What did Paul say? The world flails about. We have to get a vaccine. We have to keep people alive. Really? Not that we shouldn't try to be good with medicine. The church, the dwelling place of God, Paul says, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, we should live together with him. Do you know you will never be in a better place than when you die before the last day? It's not something to be afraid of, to wring our hands over. Yes, we want to take good care of ourselves. We want to serve our neighbor. But we want, most of all, whether we live, whether we wake or whether we sleep, we should live together with him. That's why the word and the sacraments are so important. The Lord came. The Lord comes to take us home to the mansions he prepared for us. And he who began that good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.